I'm glad it's under the blood. Aren't you? Where would we be without the blood of Jesus Christ? That cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Thank God. Boy, if that don't light your fire, your wood is soaking wet. Amen. That was something else. Praise the Lord. Thank God. All glory to the Lord. Amen. All glory to the Lord Jesus. Wonderful song. It is really a joy and a privilege to have Brother Archie Davis here. I'm thankful for a man who just keeps on standing. Amen. He put his time in for this country. He put his time, and then he added time to the time he put into this country. And then he added a little more time to help this country. And he's responsible for helping the young men that come into the military. I asked him today, I said, you know, when the young men come into the military today, 18, 19 years old, it's a whole different world. Amen. It's a whole different thing to them. They got to grow up fast. And there has to be leadership and help, guidance along the way. Because you see, if we don't have a country that is protecting us and our safety, our security, if we don't have that, then we lose all the freedoms of a citizen. You get in your car tomorrow morning, you go to work, you'll earn a paycheck, and I'll promise you that paycheck won't spread as far as what it used to. But you'll get to get a paycheck, you'll get to get in your car, get some groceries and come home, relax. Can I tell you, you may not understand, you may not realize this, but it's because many, many people behind the scenes are there with their heart and their eye on keeping our country protected. And we as citizens get to enjoy the pleasures because they endure the difficulties for us. And I always think it's worthy to be an individual and a church that honors people who fight these battles and stand for us. And they're training the next generation of men. And I think God, you put it in Brother Archie's heart now to travel. You know, Brother Archie, you could be at home with a brand new rocking chair, retired, saying, I did my duty. I got her done. Now I'm going to sit back and relax and drive my Corvette whenever I feel like it. Amen? He could do that. But he's chosen to be here with us. He'll be in another church next week, the week after that, the week after that. He'll be going around helping people, guiding people, leading people to following the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, we so need that in our life. And we're so glad to have Brother Archie Davis here and his wife, Miss Priscilla. Brother Archie, come on. I want to add an addendum to this also. He is taking a trip to Uganda, Africa. And he's going to show us some of the highlights tonight as he preaches tonight. So I hope you have your heart attentive. Remember that cup? Remember that cup? Let's empty it out and let's give our ears and our attention, Brother Archie, tonight, sir.
God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for being here and those nice words. And I'm going to tell you right now, hey, you know, when you start preaching about that blood and I thought what I was going to preach on, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. God is all in this tonight. Because you know what I'm preaching about tonight? The power of the blood. And I hadn't told nobody. God just don't make, It's not just coincidental that I'm opening the blessed book and preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because God wants you to know the truth about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to be tonight. And thank the Lord for the visitors that's here. Look, I am not the pastor. I'm a visitor. I'm just a visitor just passing through. Hey, I'm just a man just crying in the wilderness, amen, about a solitary Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. He saved my soul 13 August 1993. I was along the way. You know, one of them along the way type divine appointments. I wasn't in a church house. I was out on the works field. I was on Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And another soldier told me about Jesus Christ. And he had been giving me this track along the way. He had gave me a track in my workstation a couple of times. I'll never forget. It was a light blue track with it had Jesus saved on it. And you open it up, it had the gospel. It had the Romans Road in that thing. And he had given it to me, but I had never read it. He gave me a couple of them. I just throw them in my work thing. But that day, I'll never forget, before I went to the motor pool, brother. That's where I got saved, in the motor pool. You know something about the motor pool. Soldier of him. I read it. And when I got there, he would seem like God had him right where he needed to have him, right in my path. And he said, "Hey, did you read that track?" I said, "Man, you know, this morning I checked it out." He said, "Well, we want you to come to church, but before you come to church, what I want to know if you're saved. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" I said, "No, I do not." He said, "Well, let me tell you about the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the one that gave it all for you and I on the cross, so that you might have eternal life with him. Let me tell you about him." So he told me about Jesus, and the hounds of heaven treed this old boy. Amen, if you know anything about hunting. And God saved my soul. And, you know, he put me in a Bible-believing church, amen. He surrounded me with people that loved the Lord and knew something about the Bible and knew something about serving God. And I'm a product of that. Amen. And I thank God he did it, because it's people that's sitting and soaking and dying and going to hell, and they need to hear the preached word of God. Amen. So we need to keep it hell. We need to preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Amen. And we need to call sin, sin. We're going to preach on the blood, power of the blood. We got some slides and everything I'm going to show you as I go along the way here. But, hey, your points is that atoning power of the blood, redemption power of the blood, and victorious power of the blood of God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and I. We need to understand that blood redeemed us, it cleaned us, it saved us, but it sealed us with the Spirit of God. And we need to understand that God shed his all for you and I. He gave it all on the cross. We talked about sacrifice this morning, and how they drained all the blood of that lamb or whatever they sacrificed. Drained it all. One draw, all, everything. Because that's how sacrifices go. And he gave it all for you and I. Now, I want to show you something in Hebrews chapter 9. I just love Hebrews. You know, it was written to the Jews, the Hebrews, the Jews. But it applies to all of us. And we need to understand that. But I want to pick up, I want to pick up in verse 11 of chapter 9. The Bible says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now, if you read from chapter, if you read chapter 9, verse 1 through 10, you will understand the tabernacle and how it's laid out and what the priests went in. You had the holy place and the most holy place, amen. You had the brazen altar outside, and then you had the laver pool where they washed up on a regular basis before they went into the holy place, and they did most of the work in the day doing the holy place. That was the high priest. But the great high priest, went into the most holy place once a year with the sacrifice of the people. Once a year. The blood of the people. For the sins and the errors of the people. That's what it talks about in verse 1 through 10. But here in 11 it says that now we got a great high priest that's better than what you've seen there. That was an example of the great high priest coming, amen, our high priest, Jesus Christ coming for us. And hey, he said here, if you read it, he said, but Christ being coming high priest of the good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his what? Own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for who? For us. Amen. I want you to picture this as I preach on the blood. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers and sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered what? Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I'm going to tell you something right now, and we're going to dwell on that in here in a minute. But look, nobody can save you but God. Nobody can seal you but God. Look, I don't care. Hey, we need to understand the only one that could sacrifice his son was Jesus. Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice. And he was the only one that could have done what he did. You know why? Because he was man, God, man. He was just as much man as he was God. He was just as much God as he was man. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Bible said, Luke illustrated this. He said, he explained it like this. He said, that holy thing that we call the Son of God, that holy thing that God, man, came, amen. He said that holy thing, meaning he wasn't just man, he was God's man. He wasn't just man, he was God. He wasn't just God, he was a man. And that's what took for us to be born again. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only one could have did it. And we need to understand that that's what he's saying here. Now, he says here in verse 15, he says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise. of eternal inheritance. You know I got an eternal inheritance. You know, hey, I am saved. You know I cannot go to hell. You can tell me to go to hell. I can't go to hell. Hell cannot hold you or me if you're saved today. Amen. Hell can't hold you because you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. It says here in verse 16, it says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. You know who the testator was? That's Jesus Christ. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You know what that is? Give you an example. It's your will, brother. You can't execute your will unless you dead. The testator, amen. Hey, the testator, the will don't go into effect until somebody die, amen. Hey, God had to die for you and I, amen, in order for the testament to be executed. And our testator is Jesus Christ. Are y'all walking with me a little bit? Amen. Just a little bit of scripture, and then I got some points, and I'll be out of here. Then he says in verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Remember the Old Testament. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no what? Remission, no forgiveness. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things to come, and I got that underlined in my Bible, that's a study there, that's homework. The patterns of the things in the heavens shall be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. Oh, no. Which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven, amen, itself, now to appear in the presence of God for who? Us. You know what the Bible said. Said the Lord himself. He said, hey, he said, God. He said, set your affection on things above and not in this world. He said, God is on the right hand of, Jesus is on the right hand of God. Amen. And we'll be, he said, presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Now, what he's saying is God ain't got to die and get up once. Amen. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said, tetelestai, that's in Greek, it is finished. Okay, it's a done deal. The mission is completed. Salvation is for all that call upon him. And let me tell you something. When he said it was finished, the rocks cried out, amen. Hey, earthquakes came, amen. Hey, everything had to stand to attention, my brother. Hey, the heavens got dark, amen. Hey, even the soldiers said, this must be the Son of God. Everybody, hey, it got everybody's, all created creation attention, because God has finished it. It is finished. I've been forgiven. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Then it says here, it says in verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of the world. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin until salvation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the blood. Lord, be with us tonight. This is your message for your people. I'm nothing, you everything. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. So we see the atoning power of the blood. The atoning power of the blood. This is the reconciliation, the process of reconciliation, process of reconciliation between God and man, God and humanity. God in humanity had to have some reconciliation, and somebody could do it was God, man, Jesus Christ. Do you understand me? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. It's a reconciliation. We can have a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. Amen. More and more, if you think about that, it will affect you tremendously, because you are in, God wants you to realize that you got fellowship and relationship with the Creator God. That's a powerful thing. That is a very powerful thing. We need to understand that. The blood is powerful. And we need to understand that God did it for the sins of the world. And I tell folk, I say, if you're living in sin, God will get up under it. God will make you squirm in your seat. God will make you, God will make you say, hey, now, what am I doing wrong? Hey, God will prick your heart. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. But that reconciliation could only be done by Jesus Christ our Lord. In Leviticus 17:11, the Bible says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is blood, the blood, that maketh an atonement for souls. Look, Leviticus is demonstrating the shedding blood which was an integral part of atonement. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, shed his blood to atone for our sins once and for all. Once and for all, amen. We got some CBers coming through you. I hadn't heard that in a while. Jesus is talking, amen. 10-4, amen. That's all right. Oh, so Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offers himself without spot to God. This is what it did. It purged your consciousness. Now I want to, and this is 14. Now 9:14. I want you to do, I'm gonna dissect this a little bit. The purging is the cleansing of your mind. He's clearing up some things. See, God, when he saved me, the day he saved me, I realized that I was lost. Who did that? That was God. He dealt with my mind. He cleared up some things. He gave me a direction. Man, I'm lost. Through the spoken word of God, he cleared up some, he cleaned up some things. He gave me clarity that I was headed to hell. Look what it says. He said, purged your conscience from dead works. You know what that dead works mean? Things leading to death. Non-spiritual things. Not of God. Amen. That soldier could have talked about anything. He could have talked about weapons, going to war, but God sent a witness to me to tell me about salvation. Amen. The word of God. And he purged my mind. He cleared me up. He gave me clarity. From other things that was not relevant to my eternal salvation. And then it says, from dead works to serve the living God. He saves us to serve, man. He didn't save me to sit. He saved me to do something. I told my family, well, if I get where I can't do nothing but call on the phone and talk about Jesus, that's what I'm going to do. We need to understand we have been saved to serve the living God. So number one was atoning power. You want to put the slide up? Atoning power is number one. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. We seen that. We just seen it. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The atoning power. That's the atoning power. Right here, I want to show you right here. This is a school, Destiny Lane Christian School. 500-plus folk was in this school, people, children. And I preached message. I done forgot what I preached on. But this was altar call. I prayed and they was getting ready to split up. But I know we had about 20 folk that said, God pricked their heart, amen. Amen. And they realized that they was lost and destined to hell. And I looked over that flock right there. I said, this 20, even one of this 24 could turn the world upside down. We don't know how important it is for this one child here to get a hold of God. Amen. We might have a D.L. Moody. We got to have a S.M. Lockridge. We might have whatever right here amongst us. We need to pray that way too. Amen. But right there just broke my heart because people were coming and they got a hold of God. And the only way that they can get saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Number two, the redemption power through the blood. The redemption power through the blood. That redemption is the deliverance from sin. He delivered me from the penalty of sin. From the evil consequences of sin. Let me tell you something, if you don't know already, God has saved you from the power of sin. He has saved you from the penalty of sin. And one day he come to get us out of this mess, so he's going to save us from the presence of sin. But while we are in this sinful world and in this sinful flesh, we, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, hey, we can fight a victorious fight. Amen. Time now with the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God actively in works in our lives. Redemption, power of the blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. In this epistle, Paul emphasizes that our redemption is not achieved through our efforts or merits, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is through his sacrifice that we find forgiveness of sin. And this forgiveness is not limited, but extended according to the immeasurable riches of his grace. It's all about God. Redemption involves being delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. It implies a restoration of a relationship with God. Redemption entails the payment of a price or ransom to secure freedom or release from bondage. Look, Jesus paid it all. Amen. Hey, redemption is not merely about forgiveness or escape from punishment. It is also, listen to me, it is also involves restoration and renewal. Through redemption, individuals are often transformed. You remember when I heard talked about this morning, transformation, transformed or renewed in their character, relationship or destiny, or experiencing a new life and identity. You know, I got a new identity. You know, I got a new life. Like the Bible says in Romans 6:4, he said that we were born to walk in what? Newness of life. You know, when the pastor's up there and he's getting ready to baptize somebody, baptism does not save you, amen. But hey, it is a symbol, it's symbolic of God's burial and resurrection, amen. And Bible said, hey, and then you have somebody up there, I baptize you, my brother and sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in his likeness, amen. Raised to walk in newness of life, amen. We need to realize God wants us to walk in the newness of life, amen. Hey, because we're a new creature in God. So we need to be walking in newness. We need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. Especially in this old world, amen. Because Satan, he's up to his same old tricks. Hey, he's coming through your phone. He's coming through your all the airways. He's coming through your computer. He want to pull you down, and God want to raise you up. And let me tell you something. We need to remind ourselves that we are walking in newness of life, amen. We got to do that. We got to continue to realize that that blood gave us the opportunity to that redemption. That power of redemption gave us the opportunity to walk in newness of life, because those chains of sin was broken, amen, on Calvary. Those chains was broken on Calvary. Amen. And we can walk in newness of life. But you know what happened? We pick up those chains. I wish I had my chains again, brother. And we strap them chains on, don't we? And we walk around with them chains. Woe is me. And we need to realize, hey, God done died. And I'm released. I'm free indeed. You know what? Growing in grace is growing in truth. And the word of God will make you free. Amen. Think about that. Growing in grace is growing in truth. And this right here will make you free. Amen. So overall, redemption, listen to me, encompasses the theme of salvation, atonement, payment, restoration, divine intervention, all aimed at delivering an individual from the bondage of sin and restoring them to a right relationship with God. I just want to be having a right relationship with God. I want to walk with God. I want to be like Enoch. He walked with God, and God took him. That's all need to be said. He had a relationship with God, and he walked with God. And God said, hey, let me go ahead and take you with me. Amen. Amen. So that is what we're looking at, and that's what we're aiming at. Right here, we're in Sudan refugee camp up in by the Sudan border. And I didn't think, I'm just a human being, I didn't think they were going to understand me. I had two translators, brother. It had to be translated from Swahili to another dialect to the Sudan. And I said, two Swahili, and I'm an old country boy. I'm already talking in another language myself. But you know what? God saved 20 plus folk that day. This is what I was talking about this morning, where that lady that's right here, she was the older lady that came up first. You could tell that she was war-torn. I done seen some folk been in a lot of war. She been through some stuff. She probably seen families killed, her family killed, I don't know. But she got up and she started coming my way. And after she got up and started coming my way, a whole bunch of people, an older man got up. Amen. And then for long, another person got up. And for long, we was dealing with 20-something people that needed to be born again. Only by the blood, amen. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning power, the redemption power, and number three, the victorious power over sin, Satan, and this old world. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12 real quick. Let's go there. And I covered this morning a little bit, but I'm going to hit it again in this message. Revelation chapter 12. Starting in verse 10, the Bible says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And listen to me. In verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until death. I tell you, it's power in the blood. It's victory in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hey. The Satan and the demonic spirits tremble when the blood is preached. Amen. People can't say, hey, I'm going to tell you, it's something about the blood. Hey, it's something about, I know what it's about the blood. It's because it was pure, it was precious, it was powerful, and it was penetrating. And let me tell you something, these saints of God, that's all they had. Sometimes you got to realize that's all you have, but all I need is Jesus Christ. All I need is Jesus Christ, and that's where it's got to be. He, they said, hey, all I got
is the blood. And the testimony of what he did in my life. That's all I got. Think about it. If you don't, hey, we got to understand that that's what the world needs, is to hear the power of God in your life. He said, that's all I have, is the testimony of God. And how he saved me, how he saved my family, how he put us in the ministry, how he blessed my church, how he kept me alive so I could preach the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Look at these kids. Look at that one. She might not have much, but she's listening, ain't she? I hope she be a great spirit for God. All I can do is preach my heart out. That's all I can do, but that's all that's needed is the word of God. The blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints of God. Let me tell you. That blessed book need to be preached until Jesus come. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until death. They didn't care about dying. Gonna be with Jesus. What, you gonna kill me? I'll be with Jesus. Revelation reveals the power of the blood of the Lamb in overcoming the enemy through the blood of Jesus Christ. We emerge victorious in every spiritual battle, if we keep God first, amen. Revelation vividly portrays the triumph, victory over of the believers over the enemy through the blood of the Lamb, by the testimony of their faith and the power of Christ's shed blood, they emerge victorious, refusing to yield even in the face of death. That's what that means. Let me tell you something. I ain't no Bible scholar. I just read this book. We need to tighten up our reins. We need to tighten it up. We need to dig in the Bible like we never did before. We need to extend our prayer closet, extend our prayer time. We need to get a hold of God as a family, amen, because it's coming. Jesus is coming. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, you can turn there if you want. It says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, Paul was declaring that we are not merely conquerors, but more than conquerors through who? Christ, who loves us. He has his sacrificial love demonstrated through the shed blood empowers us to overcome every obstacle, including the assault of the enemy. We need to understand that as we move forward for the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this passage of scripture, Paul, in this first letter proclaiming gratitude to God for granting us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through his finished work, particularly his shed blood, that we experience triumph over sin, death, and the powers of darkness. We need to understand that. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Colossians 2 and 15, and y'all can write these down, but y'all, this is homework. And having spoiled principles and powers, he made a sure show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Basically, what he's saying is his shed blood not only secured our victory, but also publicly exposed the defeated powers, demonstrated his absolute sovereignty over the authority. Hey, Satan got power, but my God got all power. And he showed that on the cross. He was buried, yes he was. He rose victorious the third day over death, hell, and the grave. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Confucius didn't do that. Amen. Are you with me? Only Jesus Christ could do it. And he did it. That's Colossians 2:15. In conclusion, amen. Let us never underestimate the profound power of the blood. You can go to the next one. The profound power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not merely a symbol, but the very essence of our salvation is the foundation of our faith and the key to victory. Amen. As we meditate on the scriptures we expound today, may we be reminded of the unmatched love and sacrifice demonstrated through his blood. Let us walk in the fullness of his grace, boldly declaring the victory won on what? On Calvary. May this transformative power of his blood continue to cleanse, empower us, and guide our steps as we journey in faith. Amen. So, hey, that's the cross, soldier of the cross. Now, I told some men the other day, I got that, matter of fact, that coin that I gave you, Pastor, got that same cross. Reason why I selected that cross, the three-nail cross, because the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was brutal. It was not a pretty sight. And I got this on my, they talked about the Corvette, but I carry around this Corvette, and it has that on the front. That's the hood, anyway. And it has it on the back because I want to bring Christ and him crucified to the forefront of the conversation. We're going to have a conversation of Jesus. If I be lifted up, hey, I'll bring all man unto myself. We're going to lift up Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to glorify God. And so I selected that cross for that reason. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for our sins. God shed it. God atoning power. That's that reconciliation. God to humanity. God redemption. He has redeemed us. He has bought us back, bought us, paid in full for us. The victory that we have already had it over death, hell, and the grave. I can't go to hell. Yeah, I'm going to die, but I'll be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yep. When he said it was finished, it is finished. Right. On the cross of Calvary. Do you know anything about the blood today?
Look like around here, I think everybody's saved. Well, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to get it out to every creature, like Mark says. We need to baptize in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, and add to the church. We need to disciple. We need to Acts 1:18. We need to go to the Jerusalem, to the Judea, to the Samaria, to the utmost part of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to do that. We need to do that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this night you've given us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the blood that you shed. Thank you for the blessed hope. Lord, we know you soon to come. We want to be about your business. We want to be in the word of God. We want to be ready to fight the good fight of faith at every drop of the hat. Lord, help us to do that. Let Lord, continue to remind us of that atoning power, that redemption power, that victorious power through the blood on Calvary. Father God, I don't know if it's someone amongst us that's not saved. But I pray, oh God, that they cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" As we seen the picture of them kids, Lord, the only hope for Africa, Asia, North America, South America, Europe, and Antarctica, and Australia is you, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you raise up men and women in this church that say, I'll go out to the highways, I'll go out to the communities, I'll go out in Moore, I'll go out in Norman, wherever, Lord, to preach and teach your word, I'll go. Oh, thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for meeting with us tonight. You worked a mighty work in my soul. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Pastor, come on.